If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and follow along as I read beginning at verse 10. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Yes, this letter was written to a pastor. It certainly applies to pastors. The words of encouragement, the words of warning, challenge, certainly apply to those who find themselves in ministry. But Father, it's a part of your holy word, and surely there's application for all of us. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul has already told Timothy, in the last days, and they are in the last days, and we are in the last days, so today, difficult times will come. So no matter how difficult they are, they will get worse. Why? We saw last week, because men will be lovers of self. And while there was a long list of ways in which they demonstrated that, it all comes down to the fact that our default position as men and women is what's in it for me. How do I protect me? How do I get what's mine? What I am deserving. And they are holding to a form of godliness. So they are religious people. Now don't trip over that word. It's not a bad word, but you want to know what they mean by it. Not everything that's done in the name of religion, not everything that's done in the name of godliness is. So you have to look carefully. But you, Timothy, in contrast to all that Paul said before, you, Timothy, you followed my teaching. Now, you followed my teaching. Literally followed. This is not followed in the way we use it now, you know, reading consistently some particular author or watching some particular teacher regularly. Not that kind of follow. This is first century, followed right along beside me. You walked with me. You were there as I was teaching. You didn't get this second hand, third hand. You're an eyewitness to all that I taught. You're an eyewitness to my conduct. In other words, my way of life. You know whether I lived what I taught. You were right there. You know my purpose, motive. You know what motivated me, what encouraged me. You know my faith. And Paul is not using the word faith as a noun. He's not talking about even the response to God's grace. He's talking here about faithfulness. He's used a form of the word faith that requires action. Every once in a while, theologians will grapple with the doctrine, the teachings of the Apostle Paul and the teachings of the Apostle James. Because it seems like to some that James touted works. You may remember his equation. It's really pretty simple. Saving faith, works. Not works produce saving faith, but saving faith, works. Which is exactly the same equation that the Apostle Paul used, just a little differently. But it's what he's referring to here. Timothy, you know my faith. You know how I lived. You know of my faithfulness. And then there are two words that in English seem almost synonymous, patience and then perseverance. But in the language that Paul is using here, that patience is directed toward difficult people. Perseverance, maybe your Bible says endurance, perseverance or pushing through difficult situations. Not synonymous. Now, difficult people can create difficult situations. Yeah, that's true. But the challenges that come in dealing with one another, and then the challenges that come as we deal with the circumstances that surround us, and all of this with the attitude of love. And this is, again, unconditional selflessness. Something I am not bent to. And I don't think you are either. And I don't say that to be critical of you personally, but critical of us as people. Without the working of God through His Holy Spirit within us, it's very hard to look at anyone unconditionally. And it's very hard to get beyond my needs. So to look at one another with unconditional selflessness, if you see me do it, if you see anything in my life that ever looks like unconditional selflessness, see God, not me. See Him working in me, because it is not the way I am bent. But Paul says, Timothy, you've seen all of this in me, and you've observed the results. We drive a new Buick. We live in a beautiful home. We eat wonderful meals because of God's blessing. Well, that's not what the verse says. Persecutions and sufferings. You can get all of this right in verse 10 and still suffer persecutions and sufferings. More about that in a moment. Sufferings at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Now, those are places, those are cities, all of which we can go back to the book of Acts and we can see them, but the really significant one in this passage is Lystra. Because Lystra is where Timothy grew up. And Lystra is where Paul was stoned and left for dead. And yet when Paul got up and left, Timothy left with him. So when Paul says, you followed my teachings, that's what he meant. You went right with me. You were right there. Even at one of the lowest points in my ministry. And Paul says, out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Now, that's an interesting statement. Because we will learn in the next chapter, and I have not mentioned for a little bit, that Paul is in his second Roman imprisonment. As he's writing 2 Timothy, he's back in prison in Rome. And as we will learn in chapter 4, he does not expect to leave prison alive. He does not expect to be rescued out of this prison in this life. And yet he looks at everything up until then and simply says, God has rescued me. Has he? Yes. Can he? Yes. Will he? Don't know. But I will remain faithful. Remember Daniel's three friends when Nebuchadnezzar said, bow before this statue that represents me and my holiness? And they said, no. And he said, well, I'll give you another chance. Bow before this statue that represents my holiness. And they said, no. And he said, okay, I'll throw you in the fiery furnace. And what did they say? Do you remember? We will not bow. And whether he rescues us from the furnace or not makes no difference. Whether he rescues us or not, we will not bow. That's where Paul's at. I'm a long way from there, but that's where Paul was. I am going to remain faithful, irregardless of what comes next. You followed my teaching, Timothy. You observed the results. You can expect no less. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The word that he uses is not just physical deprivation. It's broader than that. It's more the idea of experiencing opposition. And that can include everything from questioning to death. But again, the equation is simple. The more we live like Christ, the more we pursue godliness, the more we can expect opposition. Why? Because the opposition comes from Satan. And while Satan is a lot of things, he will not waste his time on a Christian who isn't doing anything. You If you are no threat to his kingdom, you will experience no opposition from the enemy. But all faithful believers should expect opposition. Live your faith openly. Live as though your faith informs every area of your life. Do it consistently, and you will experience opposition from someone somewhere. Satan will not tolerate it without opposing it. That's why he can say this so inclusive. All who desire to live godly, not some. Oh, there are going to be examples of really godly people who have who've been oppressed in many ways. That's not what he says, is it? All who pursue godliness, all who pursue Christ-likeness, will be such a thorn in the side of the enemy that he will oppose you. No opposition, no threat. Timothy had a great example. Looking at those men like Jannes and Jambres and the other religious, ungodly people, some of whom had crept into the church, looking at all of those, Timothy had a great example. Paul taught the truth, lived the truth, whatever the consequences, even persecution, opposition, satanic opposition. And Timothy, pastor, all of us pursuing Christ-likeness, all of us who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus can expect no less. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to challenge, to encourage, may we be, in our pursuit of you, salt and light in the community around us. May every part of our lives, not just what we do on Sunday morning, but may every part of our lives be informed by the fact that we are yours, that we are men and women of faith, your children. You are our Father. And just as you rescued Paul, as we anticipate opposition, you will be right there with us too. As we learn even more about what Paul was expecting when you rescued him once again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.